We're going to open God's Word again. This time we're going to be looking at the end of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 29. And this can be found on page 972 of your pew Bibles. This is the end of the Sermon on the Mount. We have had three chapters of amazing and powerful teaching. And we have been looking at this for about 10 weeks. And it's been a great sermon series with lots of challenge. Some difficult reading for us as well. And these are the words of Jesus as he finishes this sermon. He says this, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house in the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. And amen, and may the Lord bless and challenge us again with the reading of his word. What is your greatest ever achievement? Don't shout it out, no boasting. This is one of my greatest achievements. That's the wee extension I built a number of years ago when I was in between jobs. I didn't build it. I got someone to design, I got someone a brickie, I got a joiner, I got a spark, and I got a plasterer, but I didn't manage it. And I bought all the stuff, and I was the laborer. I was the guy who brought all the bricks around from the front of the house to the back. But do you know what was really surprising to me as a guy who had never built anything in his life is this bit here. The foundations. They're crazy. Before we started work on our little extension, we had been thinking all about what it's going to look like, where the windows will be, where the doors will be, and all that kind of thing, the size. Karen was thinking about the colors already, and where the furniture would go and all that. But then we started to dig and dig and dig and dig a big, big hole. And then we filled it up with concrete and steel and blocks and more stone and a concrete slab. Foundations are hard work. They are expensive. And you never see them. You never see the foundations, but you know that they are there. Because, gladly, 6 years later, that is still there, that extension. But you would know about it if they weren't. Foundations, the foundations of a building are the most important thing. You could put in bad foundations which aren't deep enough and which don't have enough concrete, and you could build a beautiful extension or a house or a building, and it would look great for a while. But in time, as the weather comes and the wind and the rain of Northern Ireland wax it, and the ground sells, cracks would start to appear, getting bigger and bigger, and even worse could happen, things could fall. Good and firm foundations are vital to a building. You never see them, but you see the proof of their existence. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus was telling his disciples the same thing. To have a good Christian life, we must have a good foundation upon which it is built. And how do we gain a good Christian life? Well, we hear and do as Jesus teaches. Jesus simply said in verse 24, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock." We will have a good foundation for our lives if we hear the words of God. They hear the words of Jesus and put them into practice, doing them. Building our lives on the rock of Jesus and his teachings. Because if you don't, you will be building your life like a building on the sand. And in reality, you just don't do that. It's a foolish thing to do. It will fail. Jesus was and is telling us now to ensure that we are all wise and that we are building our lives. The basis of our moral and ethical decisions that we make, the things that we think, the things that we do, all of our lives are to be built on the foundation of Jesus' teaching. But how do we gain a good foundation? We hear. We do as Jesus teaches. We see this principle of hearing and doing within the Christmas story. And it's Christmas now, and as we've already said, it is a busy time of the year. It's a great time of the year. We're busy buying presents and buying food, and then getting presents and eating food. It's brilliant. But when you look at the whole of the Christmas story, we see that the angels, well, they were very, very busy as well. The angels appeared, bringing the word of God to Zechariah, to Mary, Joseph, the shepherds, and the wise men. Each time they heard the message, the word of God, and they did what they were told. And we can learn four things from these guys about how we can hear and do. The first thing that we see is that we need to believe. Zechariah, the priest, he was told that he would have a son in his older age, and he was to call him John. But he doubted, and as a consequence of that doubt, he couldn't speak until the word was fulfilled. His son was born, and he still couldn't speak. It was only when he did as he was told that he could speak. And we see that in Luke 1. Then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like the child to be called. He asked for a writing tablet, and to, excuse me, everyone's astonishment, he wrote, "His name is John." Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak, praising God. In order to do what God wanted, he had to believe. And this should have been easy for this guy. When the angel spoke to him, he was in the Holies of Holies performing a really big sacred ritual. There in the middle of worshiping God, God spoke to him and he doubted. Yes, eventually he did as God asked him to do, but still he doubted. And there's a warning for us here. To be a people who hear and do, we need to believe the word of God. Being careful not to be caught up in the ritual and the status and all the busyness of worship, thinking that we know it all because we are busy at church. So that when God speaks to us, we miss it. We doubt. And this can happen so easily in churches where we are so focused on the doing and the rituals that we never take time to listen to God. So we don't hear him. And when we do hear him, we're too busy to actually take it in, so we doubt it. We need to take time with God. Next, we see that we need to accept God's will. Mary was told by an angel that what would happen to her, that she would give birth to the Messiah, to Jesus, the Son of God. And after she heard all the angel had said, and this would have been quite scary to this young girl, considering the shame that she would suffer because of this, she said this, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." In order to do as God wanted, she had to accept God's will for her life and then deal with any shame or social difficulties which she would face. And so do we. To be a people who hear and do, we need to accept God's will for our lives because we have to understand that he knows best. So that when we're asked to do something that we wouldn't have picked or anything, we do it because we understand that God knows best. We accept his will in our lives. That is part of hearing and doing, accepting his will. Next, We see that we need to be willing to go outside of our comfort zones. The shepherds were there, the angel appeared to them, told them the good news, and they did as the angel said. They went to Bethlehem, they found Jesus, and they rejoiced and they worshipped God, and they told all of his people about what they had seen. Now, the shepherds would not have been particularly comfortable doing this. Going into the town and looking for a baby, these were rough and tough men. This was way outside of their comfort zone. In fact, when they went into the town, they would have been shunned because of their profession, because of what they were doing, their job. But they went in, they found Jesus, and they went and they told people about the amazing things that they had seen. These were shepherds, totally out of their comfort zone, but praising God because they had heard and they did what he had wanted them to do. So to be a people who hear, we need to be willing to go outside of our comfort zones. Next, we see that we need to be humble. The wise men. The angel appeared to them with a message to protect Jesus and probably the wise men. So they did as they were told, and they didn't return to Herod. They went another route. Remember, these were probably wise men, and they were probably rich and important. So returning to the king would have been something that they would have expected to do, the pomp and the circumstance of it all. But they had to get over their pride and humble themselves to do as God wished. To be a people who hear and do, we need to get over our pride and be humble. In the whole Christmas story, who did the angels appear to most? Does anybody know that? I think it was Joseph. Three times we see the angels appear to Joseph, and it could be argued actually a fourth time. First, he was told not to be afraid and to take Mary as his wife and to call the child Jesus. Second, he was to get up and to go to Egypt for their protection. Third, he was to get up and to go back to Israel because it was safe to return. And fourth, he was warned in a dream to go to Galilee, and the town of Nazareth, and not to go back to Judea. Each time, even though he was being asked to do something which was very difficult, Joseph heard the words of God, and he put them into practice. In Joseph, we see all of these four points. He believed, and he didn't get carried away by the ritual and all of that of worship at the time. And he took Mary to be his wife. According to the law of that day, he could have rejected her. He could have had her stoned. But he listened to God, and he did as he was told. He understood that God knows best, accepting God's will, not his own. He went outside of his comfort zone as he settled in Bethlehem. He moved to Egypt, settled there, and then he had to be coming back. He was called back, but he didn't get to go to the preferred place. In all of this, Joseph couldn't allow his pride to stop him doing God's will. So in Joseph, we see a very humble man who heard and did the words of God. Throughout the Christmas story, we see that the people heard the word of God and put those words into practice, the principle of hearing and doing. If they hadn't, and they hadn't believed, being proud, thinking that they knew best, unwilling to leave their comfort zones, then the story of Christmas would be very different. So how do we gain a good Christian foundation? We hear and do as Jesus teaches. What do we need to hear and do? We need to hear the teachings of Jesus. The Sermon on the Mount gives Christians the ability to build a good foundation. Within it, Jesus has given us a lot of teaching, which he sees as vital for our Christian lives. All of the teaching we hear, all of it we need to hear and we need to do. If we pick and choose, there will be holes in the foundations. If we just hear and don't do, not putting the teachings into practice, then our foundation will not be as strong as we want it to be or even as we think it should be. In this short challenge of the wise and foolish builder, at the end of the sermon, Jesus is saying, live this sermon. Hear it and do it. And the question we need to ask ourselves is this: are we living the Sermon on the Mount? Are we hearing these words of these amazing three chapters and putting them into practice? If you've got your Bibles there, open up to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to have a quick look through the Sermon on the Mount. This sermon is life-changing stuff, but only if we allow ourselves to hear it and then do it, all of it. It starts with the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Are we realizing the low condition of our spirit as we stand before a holy and righteous God? Blessed are those who mourn. Do we mourn for our sin and for the sin of the world? Blessed are the meek. Are we humble or are we full of self-importance? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Do we literally hunger and thirst after being righteous, being right before God, living after the example of Jesus, the only righteous one? Or do we hunger and thirst and seek fulfillment in anything or everywhere else? Blessed are the merciful. Are we compassionate and loving, seeing a need and doing something about it? Blessed are the pure in heart. How pure are our hearts? Blessed are the peacemakers. Do we seek peace? Forgiveness. How peaceful are we really? Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of God. In order to have a good foundation, we must have each of these attitudes in our lives. We must hear these words and then do them. Verse 13, you are the salt of the earth, stopping decay and bringing good. 14, you are the light of the world, destroying the darkness of the world, bringing the light and the hope of Jesus to this world. That's what we're meant to do. Verse 16, in the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and glorify or praise your Father in heaven. Are our good deeds causing people to praise God? These are vital parts of a good foundation that continues on, that we are to keep the commandments. But, you know, it's harder than we think. It's more than not murder. We are not to be angry because it hinders our worship. It's more than not committing adultery. We're not to look lustfully. To have a good foundation, we need to grasp the importance of the battlefield of our minds. We see more things which are important for a good foundation as we go through the sermon. A good and a strong marriage. Our word being our word, our yes being yes, and our no being no. That we show love beyond expectations by turning the other cheek, by giving more than we are asked for, going the extra mile, giving generously, loving our neighbor, praying for those who persecute us. These are all hard work, which require real effort and changes in attitudes. We continue on and we see the importance of giving to the needy in secrecy. It's all about our heart. What is our motivation? Jesus taught us to pray. Are we praying? It is such a vitally important part of our foundation. He taught us about the importance of forgiveness, fasting, to focus on treasures in heaven and not be distracted by treasures that are on earth. That we cannot serve with God and money. We're not to worry, we're not to judge, we're to ask, seek, and knock. Then we have the warnings of the two gates. The wide one, which is popular and easy, or the narrow one, which isn't. The good and the bad fruit, which is your fruit. And then finally, the two builders. And the challenge to hear and to do all of the above. To be honest, this list that I have rushed through is challenging. And I'm sure as I look at it, and I know as I look at it and I read it, I can see areas in my life where I need to work at, new things I need to do. And it must be the same for all of us. This is the teaching of Jesus. It changes hearts. So let us not allow unbelief, pride, fear of going outside our comfort zones, or our own stubborn will stop us from hearing the teaching of Jesus and doing it. There is so much work that goes into the foundation of our Christian life. And most of it isn't seen outwardly because it's in our hearts and it's in our minds. But the proof of that work, the work that we put in, will be seen in how we live our lives. Jesus says in verse 25 of Matthew 7, "The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock." This is why Jesus taught and challenged us to hear his words and to do them. Our faith will be attacked from all directions. The proof of the quality and the hard work that we put in to our foundations will be seen. Are we wise? Will our faith stand or fall? At the end of Jesus' life, we see him praying in the Mount of Olives. And we see this in Luke 22. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. Then he rose from the prayer and went back to the disciples. He found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked. "Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." Jesus, as Jesus looked to the cross, he prayed in anguish of what lay ahead of him, not for the physical pain, but for the punishment that he would receive for accepting our sins so that we could be forgiven and know heaven and know God through him. He accepted God's will. As a humble servant, he did as the Father wanted, and he followed God. Also note what he said to his disciples. Get up and pray so that you may not fall into temptation. And Matthew says this over the same episode. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." The fact is that we are weak. So it is vital that we have a good foundation. Hear and do. Live the Sermon on the Mount. I want to leave you with what I think is key to all of this. In order to be better doers of the word, we need to be better listeners. We need to listen more effectively to God's word so we can know what he wants us to do. And this is an article very recently published on the Gospel Coalition's website by Christopher Ash. And I thought it was very helpful for myself. And I want to just share a little bits of it with you here. It's called this, 7 Ways to Become a Better Sermon Listener. And the first point he says is expect God to speak. Pray during the week for next Sunday's preacher. Pray for yourself and those who go to church with you. Come to the sermon as physically and mentally fresh and attentive as you possibly can. Quiet your minds and heart and expect God to speak. Say, "Lord, speak to me. I am listening." Second, he says, admit God knows better than you do. He says, "I need to sit under the word in humility, not over it in judgment. God is God and I am not. I must Be ready then to adjust my opinions, my beliefs, and my heart and my life. Point three, make sure the preacher says what the passage says. Be humble and not gullible. Read the passage. What's the main idea? Is the central thrust of the sermon the central thrust of the passage? Point four, hear the sermon in church. We listen together. We hold one another accountable. We help one another, stirring one another up to godly living as we gather together. Five, be there week by week. Be regular in church. The commitment to constantly gather with our covenant family is important. Point six, do what the Bible says. He quotes from James 1. Do not merely listen to the word so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. After the Sunday sermon, think about some concrete way in which you will obey the preached word. Write it down. Tell someone what it is. It may be something to start doing or something to stop doing. It may be words to speak or stop speaking. Most of all, it will be an attitude of desire of the heart. It may help to keep a journal Sunday by Sunday, returning to past entries from time to time and review your progress. Ask yourself how God is at work in you and through his word. And point seven, do what the Bible says today and rejoice. And here he quotes from Psalm 95. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Today. There is an urgency to our hearing. Do not put off till tomorrow, for tomorrow may never come. And then rejoice. Be glad God caused the Bible to be written exactly as he wanted. Be glad for the good news, for all he has given us in Christ. If you're a believer, be glad your name is written in heaven. Let each time you sit with your covenant family in Christ, listening to a sermon, be a time of fresh repentance, fresh reliance, and fresh obedience to your King. As Jesus says at the end, as it says of Jesus at the end of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7:28. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowd were amazed at his teaching. Let us be a people who are amazed by the teachings of Jesus and hear them and do them. Let us live the Sermon on the Mount. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we pray that you will help us to hear your words. That you will help us to open our hearts to your teaching. That we will not hold back from you because of pride or our own will or our own fear of the unknown, of going out of our comfort zones. Lord, let us be a humble people before you, seeking your will in our lives. Every time we come to your word, be that in church or at home as we open your word, Lord, speak to us in a mighty way. Let us look at your word expectantly, expecting to be challenged and changed, to be made more like the people you want us to be. Help us to become the disciples you want, who bring glory to you in this world, who witness to your greatness and your love in this world. And we can only do this, Lord, as we have strong foundations in your teaching. When we build our lives on you, help us to not be afraid of the hard work of following you. Following you isn't easy. But give us the strength and the guidance of the Holy Spirit to build strong foundations, to read through the Sermon on the Mount again. And I ask you, Lord, to just guide us of what we need to change and do to ensure that our foundations are strong, are firm, are good, so that our lives, our Christian lives, will be beautiful to you. and bring light, change, and glory to you in this world. Lord, be glorified in all things, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.